through 13. As you're doing that, let me lead us in prayer to begin with today. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for our time of worship, our time of gathering, the gentle reminder, God, of your presence today, and just to remind us that you've brought us here for a reason this morning, whether we're here present or listening to this on our live stream or even on our podcast. There is a purpose and a reason that you have this message for us, myself included. And so, God, I pray this morning that we can wipe away all of the distractions and the different things that we're burdened with this morning, all of the weights and baggage that we sometimes find ourselves carrying around. Help us just to put all of those things aside for the next few minutes and to focus on you and your word this morning and the message that your divine Holy Spirit has for us. Help us to be forever changed because we've encountered your word this morning, that we're transformed, we're not left the same. And so, God, I pray this morning, prep us for this message and guide us in this. We pray all of these things, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Title of our message is When God Whispers. Listen, I'm going to tell you, this is a passage I've read many times, never preached on it, actually. And to be honest with you, I just sort of kind of moved through this. This is Elijah, and it's the life and times and the struggles and the up and down of the great prophet Elijah. Most of you have heard of his name. He is, without much argument, probably the greatest prophet in all of the Old Testament. God will use him to bring a message to the king that was very unpopular. It'll be Elijah shortly before we find him here in our passage, has already confronted and conquered the worshipers of Baal and the priest of Baal and has seen God's movement and victory in that. And in this part of the passage or his story, we find that he's retreated away into the wilderness and he's frustrated. He's frustrated with himself. He won't say it, but he's frustrated with God because he feels like there's no purpose and meaning in what he's been doing. And he's in the middle of his ministry, and God brought him to this moment to reflect and show him that it's about God, not him. It's about what God wants to do, not what you want to do. It's not about the way you assess things or whether or not you think there's value in this. It's all about how God sees it. And before the next, what I'll call half of Elijah's ministry takes place, and it's an extraordinary one, ending ultimately with Elijah ascending to the heavens without dying. I mean, it's extraordinary what God has waiting for him. But at this moment, Elijah had to decide whether or not he was going to be obedient. Now, I don't know where you are in your life today. I don't know the level of communication that you have with God, your prayer life, in other words, how he speaks to you. I don't mean necessarily in an audible voice, but how do you feel in presence the God and listen to him and get his directions? I don't know how you do that. I know how I do it. And in the crazy, chaotic world we live in, we sometimes, as we'll read in our passage today, are looking for these big messages from God, and we're missing sometimes the subtle whispers that God gives us. And that's the challenge today. That stop looking for the burning bush. Stop looking for the extraordinary and look sometimes for God in the simple. And that's exactly what we find in our passage today. We're going to catch this kind of in the mid part of this. And God has already challenged Elijah to go out from his cave. And we pick up in verse 11 and it begins this way. Go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And Elijah stood there. The Lord passed by. Listen to this. Don't miss this. And a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. In other words, Elijah was looking for the big messages, and God wasn't in that. He wasn't in the extraordinary. He was in the simple. Look what he goes on to say. After the wind, there was an earthquake. I'm in the last part of verse 11. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Verse 12, and after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, listen to this, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. Then verse 13, our last verse, when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And the voice said, and this is God speaking, what are you doing here, Elijah? You could insert your name there. It's a great question. In all of the things that we go through and all of the big things that we're striving for, sometimes it's in the gentle whisper that we hear God the loudest. And Elijah could have missed all of this because he was focused on a windstorm or on an earthquake or a great fire, and he misses the gentle whisper because he's fixated on the big things. Listen, there's lots of relevance for us in this world today when it comes to this. We're fixated on an election. We're fixated on our culture. We're fixated on our children and our parents. We're fixated on our jobs and our income. We're fixated on all of these big things, and we're missing what God is saying because we're not paying attention to the gentle whisper. And then we wonder where God is. Why is he not speaking in these big things? Now, I don't know what your fire is. I don't know what your windstorm is. I don't know what your earthquake is. I know what mine are. And I can't neglect understanding that sometimes God's not speaking in those big ways. Sometimes he's speaking in the small ways. And this is where we want to focus. It's really verse 12 this morning. And I know we have the Lord's Supper, so I want to move through this pretty quickly. Really, my goal here today is just kind of plant seeds, lay this out for you, and then leave this to you and your walk with God to kind of intercede and tangle with this and meditate on this. There is no way that in 15 minutes I can do this passage and this question that we're going to ask justice. It's just a beginning point. So here's the question we're going to try to attempt to answer in that 15 minutes, and probably not do a very good job, by the way, but how to hear the whispers of God. There are three sets of things that we need to do. I was kidding with the guys today. I have 6 points this morning, but I knew if I said that, you would just be flabbergasted, so I've disguised them in 3 points, okay? So there are 2 points in each point, if that makes sense. But just hang on and listen. They're simple, they're easy, they're one word. And so maybe this is something you write down, put on your sticky note, place it on your mirror so that you can remember these things, because every single day we need to listen to this. We need to be looking out for the whispers of God. Number one is this, and this is something that I struggle with, and God has really been trying to teach me the second part of this first point, but let me give it to you. You'll see it on the screen. The first thing that we need to do to hear effectively the whispers of God is that we need to be able to retreat and recenter. Now, what do we mean by retreat? Well, get away from the distractions. Quit looking for the windstorms and the earthquakes and the firestorms and start focusing on where God has you. Retreat away from all of what the world is saying and the chaos that we're facing and the fear-mongering that's going on in our world right now with this election, and put our focus on Him. That's what we mean by the second part, is recentering. Listen, the other day, God just sort of hit me with this. You know, I often will say we need to get back to the basics. We need to get back to what matters. We need to focus on God and nothing else. And then this whole idea of recentering came out in just a time that I was having with the Lord in a completely separate passage with Paul. And it's almost as if God is saying, listen, we've got to get back to recenter. You know what recenter means? It means to get back to the basics, to focus on what matters, but put yourself back into sort of center place. Sometimes we get out of balance. Sometimes we get out on the edge and things begin to kind of teeter one way over the other. And sometimes we've got to take maybe not the physical step, but the spiritual step to recenter. And what does that mean? That means getting back to where God wants you to be, making sure that, yes, you're keeping your focus on Him and nothing else, that you're spending time with Him and making a priority of that and the things that He values. Listen, I think the church at large today in America needs to recenter. We've gone down so many rabbit holes, and we've allowed politics and different ideologies now to begin to compromise what we know is good theology, and we're so confused as a church that we need to take a step back and get recentered. And maybe all of the things that Elijah experienced is going on in our world today with different things, but similar in the earthquakes and the firestorms and the windstorms, and we're so fixated on those things that we're missing what God is trying to tell us. We need to get recentered. We need to make a priority out of putting the important things as the important things and the things that aren't important as not as important. We need to retreat. We need to recenter. And that's essentially, If you look at this story, what God is asking Elijah to do, it'll be after this that God begins, really in the verse 14, to send him back out to Damascus and begin the second phase of his prophecy, which was going to even be more difficult and would end up causing a lot more calamity. Now, I'm not trying to say this morning that over the horizon we have struggles, but we don't need to pretend that our world's not in a bad place right now. And we are probably facing some kind of struggles, if we aren't already. You just look at our economy and you can see. But those are the things that we need to make sure that don't become distractions. Those very well may be the windstorms and the earthquakes and the firestorms in our lives right now, and we're so fixated on those things that we're missing the gentle whispers that God is giving. Yeah, I'm one that believes that God does speak loudly sometimes, but don't misconstrue that. It's not always with a loud voice. God can speak loudly while he's whispering. And sometimes if we're not recentered, if we're not retreating away from all of the struggles in our lives, then we're in danger of missing those things. We've got to have ears to hear and hearts to understand. And that leads us then to our second point is this. Not only do we need to retreat and recenter, but number two is this. If we're going to be in a place to hear the whispers of God, then we also need to listen and love. Now listen, let's make sure we understand. Listening to God is choosing to be in a place where you can hear what he is saying. Elijah symbolically steps out of the cave. He's there and he is in a place to listen to God. Now, I don't know that that means literally you got to step out of your house and stand on your doorstep, but you got to be in a place where God wants you to be so that you can listen to him. And sometimes those places are uncomfortable, aren't they? Sometimes it's in the midst of what looks to be tragedy. Sometimes it looks to be in the midst of calamity and tribulation and uncertain and wavering and fear. But yet, if we're focusing on all the fear parts of that or the things that are happening, then we can miss the whispers that God is giving us. We've got to be in a place, and here's the thing that I think we find with Elijah throughout his life. He was expecting God to speak. He wasn't wondering if God was going to speak. He knew God was going to speak. And so with that expectation, he is at the edge of the cave expecting that God is going to speak. He didn't come in the way that Elijah was expecting, mind you, but he did come, and when he realized that, that's why he covers his face with the cloak, because he understands he's in the presence of God now, and the message of God has come on him. And then the message, the question is, what are you doing here? Now, I don't know what God's trying to tell you. It could be something very different, but it doesn't matter. God is speaking. And we have the ears to hear that. But if we're fixated on the storms and all of the things going on, then we're so out of whack where God wants us to be that we can't hear those whispers. It's almost like some of us are walking around hard of hearing. And it's not that we're hard of hearing, literally. It's just that we're focused on something particular. Listen, I love my wife, and there are times, though, it's not that I'm deliberately, but I'm focused on something. She may be saying something to me, and I don't hear it. It's not that I don't hear the words. It's just that I'm focused on something. Now, I know I'm the only husband that does that, right, ladies? So I know it's unusual for us in our marriage. But again, it's not that I don't hear her. It's just that I'm not listening to her. I'm not digesting what she's saying. And Leanne's learned over 30-plus years that she needs to get around in front of me, grab me, and make sure that I'm paying attention and not just hearing, but I'm listening. And I don't know how that works in your life, but for me, when it comes to God, I'm guilty of the same thing. I sometimes can hear the voice, but I'm not paying attention to it because I am thinking God wants me to focus on this and do these things. And all the while, that's not it. That's a hailstorm. That's a windstorm. That's an earthquake. That's a firestorm. That's something that's not what God wants me to be focused on. But the enemy convinces me and helps me to feel good about myself because I'm doing those things. But all the while, I'm missing everything that God is trying to say and do. We've got to make sure that we're listening. The love part is this, and this is pretty simple, but it's a stark reminder. God expects us to love Him, right? We've said this. Every single day of our faith walk, we're learning to love Him more. And when we're trying to be in a place where we can listen to the whispers of God, we've got to focus on that love. Really, nothing else matters but learning to love Him more. And I am convinced the longer I do this, the more we focus on just loving Him and not all of these other things, then we can be more successful in being a place to where we can hear what He is saying. But if our hearts aren't in tune, then we're just hearing the sound, but we're not comprehending the words. See, it's a little different than in your human relationships with God. It takes both your heart and your mind to hear what God is saying. And so if your heart's not where it needs to be, and if you're not maximizing your effort to love Him, if you're not making that a priority every single day, then you'll hear the sounds of God, but you're not in a place to comprehend because your heart's not there. And so we've got to listen, we've got to love, we've got to make sure. And then out of that love becomes this ability to love those things around us and those people around us and all of those things that sometimes are creating the earthquakes and the wind storms and the fire storms. We learn to love those people who are being used as tools in that. Even despite the fact that it looks bad, we understand that God loves us and we want to love them. How to hear the whispers of God? We got to retreat, recenter. We got to listen and love, and I'll even say a step further, love Him. Love Him more today than we did yesterday and more tomorrow than we do today. Number three is this, pretty simple. We also need to learn to respond and react. Now, I know that sounds like the same thing, but it's really not. The response part is decidedly choosing to be obedient. Elijah had to make that decision. And then out of that, he could act. I chose the word react because oftentimes, that's what we do in life, and I think we understand what that means, but we're not being proactive with God. That's the opposite. To be proactive means to step forward. That's my problem sometimes, is I start running down the path before God has told me clearly what He wants me to do, and so I'm being too proactive and not being reactive in this situation. God always chooses us to be reactive to what He's commanding us to do. We follow what He wants us to do. But we've got to respond first before we can react by choosing to be obedient. You may think, well, of course I'm going to be obedient. Are you? Are you being obedient? Are you on the path that God wants you to be on? Or are you like sometimes I am? I'm focused on the doing of something else that in and of itself is not bad, but it serves as a distraction of what God really wants me to be doing. And now I'm making excuses that this is God's work. This is what He wants me to do. Or even worse, because of these things going on, I can't focus on You, God. I can't hear Your whisper because of all of the things that are going on in my life. And now we begin to start making bargains with God. You'll make these things go away, then I'll be obedient. And God knows better. The moment those things go away, you're going to be back on wherever you were before those things happen. It's almost as if sometimes it's the windstorms and the earthquakes and the firestorms that puts us in a place to where we have no other choice but to listen to God and choose whether or not we're going to be obedient. Sometimes I find in my life it's the storms that puts me in a place of hopelessness and all of my backup plans fail. And all I have is what's in front of me. And it's in that moment that in my vulnerability, God whispers. Sometimes it's a loud whisper. But He makes it very clear what He wants. And that's because I'm positioned. I have no other options. I mean, I wish it wasn't like that for me sometimes, but it is. I mean, I wish I could run ahead and figure it out before those things begin to happen in my life. Maybe you're like that, maybe you're not. But we have to choose how we're going to respond to God. And that's in and of itself part of the problem. And here's what I find. We're responding to something, but often it's not God. It's what the church wants. It's what our spouse wants. It's what life dictates us. It's what we think somebody wants from us. And we're not responding to God. We're responding to something else. And then that reaction part, I think I've already covered, but it is making sure that in that obedience, there's always, 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 everywhere in Scripture, including the story of Elijah, when God speaks, there's always action to follow up. That's the reaction part. When God speaks to you, tells you what he's trying to tell you, there is never a passivity. There's never a point where we just kind of sit there. God is always asking for us to react, to carry forward, to do something for him. In this case, Elijah will pack up and go back to the very place that he despises. He's frustrated because he's preached his heart out and nobody's responding. They're spitting in the face of God. And the last thing he wants is to go back into that and have to continue doing what he feels is a failure. And that's why God's telling him in the last part of verse 13, what are you doing here? Are you doing this for you, or are you doing this for me, God is saying. And it's a choice that Elijah has to say. We didn't cover the, but I love the reply in verse 14, if you still have your Bibles open. And he actually says this twice. He does it a little bit before our verse 11, but this is the second time. It's almost like Elijah had rehearsed his response if he ever was asked this question. He says, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel, those always get you in trouble, by the way, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left. Now they are trying to kill me too. That was his reply to why are you doing this? Why are you here? To me, that just registers. It just speaks volumes that there is anger in Elijah. He is missing the whisper for so many times until this moment, and he's listening now, but yet he still has a hardened heart, and it's in the following verses that we now begin to see that he'll do what God wants him to do. And now he begins to experience the peace. Now there's chaos and there's frustration, certainly, but he is in the center of God's will, and so now he's experiencing that peace that only comes when we know that we're doing what God wants us to do. He finally heard the whisper of God. Now again, I don't know where you are in your walk. Maybe you're hearing the whispers loudly every single day. I don't know. But my guess is a lot of you are like me, we're missing those. And maybe this is nothing more than God preparing you this week. He's trying to speak something into your life. He's trying to encourage you with something. He may be trying to correct something in your life. Maybe there's a plan he's laying out before you, and you're looking for the firestorms and the earthquakes and the windstorms, almost like burning bushes where God, it's undeniable that God is speaking. And oftentimes that's not how he speaks. It's through the gentle whispers into our hearts. But nonetheless, they're still the mighty voice of God. Father, thank you this morning for this passage and just really the brief moment we've had to look through it. I pray that it plants a seed in our lives, much as it has mine in this last few weeks in preparing for this morning. I just can't get past this. It's shaping me in a way, Father, that I didn't think it would. It's a message that I needed to hear, and I believe there are others that need to hear this because we're guilty just like I am in looking for the big things and missing the whispers. God, maybe in our church you're trying to speak volumes into our church, our membership, our vision, our purpose, our future. And we're missing those things because we're too busy focusing on the firestorms and the windstorms and the earthquakes. God, I would say first forgive us of that as a church. And help us, as we've said this morning, to begin to kind of process this, to get away from those fears and uncertainties, to recenter, to learn to listen, and then focus on loving you more, and then being able to be obedient or respond, and then to react to what it is that you are wanting us to do. I pray that not only for myself, but I pray that for our church as a whole. You're not finished with us. You still have purpose and meaning for us. And even though we may be asking the question ourselves, what are we doing here? You're trying to tell us that answer. So God, I don't know what decisions might need to be made this morning. This may be one that certainly is probably a message more for believers. And maybe it focuses on things like recentering and maybe listening to God. Maybe we're guilty of focusing on the storms, the big things. I don't know. Maybe it's just a decision we need to make privately in our heart. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's time for us to publicly rededicate. Maybe we need to come to the altar and pray about something and symbolically lay something before you, whatever those storms and distractions are. But Father, I also pray for that lost person that may be here or listening to this, and I'm certain this is somewhat confusing, but it can be plain as can be through the work of the Holy Spirit in their life. And maybe this morning for the first time they're realizing you've been whispering your truths of who Jesus is and what he did on the cross in their ear for decades, and they're focused on the big things and not listening. So maybe this morning, Father, through the work of your Holy Spirit, they're finally at a place to where they're listening to you. Those folks are here. I want them to come down, share that with me, so that we can put them with somebody that can walk them through what really it means to pray and accept Christ and what all of that means to us as believers now. If they're at home, I would pray that they would reach out to us or somebody that they know is a believer and share with them that they're ready, they think, to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, Father, we're going to have our invitation, and then very quickly we're going to move into our time of Lord's Supper, which in my opinion is kind of an extension of our responding to you this morning. So we pray first, bless our invitation, but also bless the time in which we observe the Lord's Supper this morning. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand now for our time of commitment?